Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Romans. We'll read from chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. And the New King James Version, the Pew Bible, we're on page 1609. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Romans 8, 12. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. The anthropologist Margaret Mead said that no matter how many communes anybody invents, the family always creeps back. Family was founded by God. Family is so important that the psalmist David was inspired to write in Psalm 27:10, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. A loving family is so important to God that God designed a plan for us to be a part of his family, his child. We're all created in the image of God, and in that sense, we're all a part of God's universal child. However, because of sin entering into the universal family of God and the nature of sin being passed down from generation to generation, people have to be reborn, regenerated. This is recorded for us in the third chapter of John when Jesus talked to Nicodemus about being born again. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In John 3:16, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Only Jesus was the begotten of God. While the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, in its list of lineage, it uses the word begot quite often, but we don't use it so much. The word begot or begat means to bring something out of or to reproduce something of like kind. Along with a human mother, a father begets or sires a human child. God begot God when God reproduced Jesus. Jesus was the begotten Son of God, coming out of God. Humans were created by God, in the image of God. In some ways, we're like God, but we're not a direct descendant of God. God has created us and loves us like a father loves their child. God wants the best for all of creation. The best for humans includes being in a new relationship, God's family. As with our physical birth, we cannot birth ourselves into God's kingdom. This is the work of God. God initiates it and God invites. But God does allow us the privilege of choosing by believing. The Apostle Paul uses the word adoption. The Romans, they're very familiar with adoption. Just like us, they had babies, children, which were abandoned by their parents. They also had some who were left behind because of the death of their parents. They were children without a loving family. The adopted child was brought into the new family as a child. They became a legal heir. They left their old life and they began a new life. Paul writes that we have left behind the life of sin and have a new life being led by the Spirit of God. God's little devotional book for moms has this story. A little 3-year-old girl had just learned that she had been adopted. She listened as her mother told her that, but she didn't really react one way or another. And the mother wondered how she could better explain it to her. Well, the next day at church, the little girl watched as some number of people came forward at the close of the service to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. So she asked her mother, "What are they doing?" And her mother was quick to reply, "God has offered to adopt them all as his children, and they're taking him up on his offer so that they can live with him forever in heaven and always know that he loves them with all his heart." Well, the little girl nodded, and she watched as the pastor prayed with each person. The next day, the mother overheard her little girl speaking into the Cocker Spaniel's silky ear. She said, I just wanted you to know I'm adopting you because God and Mommy and Daddy have adopted me, and that way we can live together forever. You did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In the Old Testament, God was only called Father 7 times. In Matthew 6 alone, Jesus calls him Father 10 times. There are over 70 references to the paternal nature of God in the New Testament. God wants us to view him as a father, not as some mystical influence in the universe. We can have a relationship with our father. The word Abba that Paul uses here is like saying daddy or papa. It's personal, it's intimate, it's family. It's our heavenly daddy, our heavenly papa. God is our heavenly father. Spiritual birth places inside of us everything that we need to become mature Christians who can serve and glorify God. Noted in 2 Peter 3:18, he writes, we need only to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the same way, spiritual adoption grants us the privilege of being the child of God with the same legal rights as Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. So we are joint heirs with Jesus. In the daily devotional Mornings with Jesus, Tricia Goyer wrote on Wednesday, May the 22nd, 2024, my husband and I adopted children from foster care, and recently our twin girls turned 18. They decided to reach out to their biological mother, whom they hadn't seen in a decade. Our daughters had high hopes of a good relationship with her, but soon realized that wouldn't be the case. I reminded them that while hope is important, sometimes people disappoint us. She continues to write, people might disappoint us, but Jesus never does. I pray that someday my daughters can have a good relationship with their biological mom. But more than that, I hope that they'll always put their faith in Jesus. In this pericope, this section of scripture that we read, Paul cites 5 privileges that we have as God's children, his adopted children. We have assurance. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In his book, Being a Child of God, Warren Wiersbe writes, as far as doctors can tell, you know, no newborn knows that they're a baby. They don't know that they're a human, from our understanding. He doesn't know where he came from or what he's supposed to be or do. But quite early, infants learn that if they'll make noise, they're sending out a signal that they want some attention. They gradually discover their bodies and things and the people around them. They find some things are pleasant and things are unpleasant, and they get acquainted with their family. And children are dependent for several years, and then gradually they'll mature, and they're expected at some point to be equipped to go out on their own. But what the natural child gradually learns, the child of God discovers very quickly through the witness of the Holy Spirit of God. The witness of the Spirit isn't necessarily a highly emotional experience, but it's a quiet confidence in your heart that God is your Father and you are his child. The witness of the Spirit comes to us in many ways, but primarily through the Word of God. Even before children, babies can understand what their parents are saying, children hear their parents talk to them, and it assures them of their love. The witness of God within our hearts and in God's Word comprises, it's like our birth certificate as a child of God. So one privilege is assurance, another is freedom. Paul wrote here, you are not debtors to the flesh, but are led by the Spirit of God who gives life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If we stop and think about it, before birth, a child has no freedom because they're safely nestled inside their mother. But after birth, then the child will have some limited freedom. They'll usually be wrapped up, swaddled, bundled up. They're carried from place to place. Sometimes they're laid in a crib. But little by little, the child will learn to turn over, pull up, crawl, and walk. But still, freedom is limited. If a child walked immediately after birth, everyone would be amazed. But because of adoption, God's children have the privilege of walking immediately with the Lord and following the leading of God's Spirit. The verb in Romans 8:14 is literally willingly led. It speaks of the freedom that we have in Christ to know God's will and to obey it. It's not out of compulsion that we willingly follow, but it's out of love that we willingly follow. So the privilege of being God's child, it's assurance, it's freedom, and it's also confidence. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. There are many fear not verses in the Bible, promises of God that we claim as the children of God. God speaks to us, and we speak to our Heavenly Father, and we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Papa. The privilege of being a child of God is assurance, freedom, confidence, and inheritance. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. A person's will states the inheritance of their heirs. It's what you receive at the time stated in the will. Our Bible is the will that tells us what we have inherited. Ephesians lists several of our inherited riches. It says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, which includes the riches of God's mercy, the riches of God's grace, and the riches of God's glory. And not only are these spiritual riches, they're available to us here and now, and they'll also be available to us throughout eternity. We're joint heirs with Christ. And part of our glorious inheritance will be things that Paul included later on in this chapter. Says we'll be have the blessing of a redeemed body, and we'll live in a redeemed creation. He wrote in Romans 8:21, the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, eagerly waiting for the redemption of our body. We will have a redeemed body. So we've talked about four of the things that Paul mentions that comes to us with the privilege of being an adopted child. We've talked about the assurance and the freedom and the confidence and the inheritance. And the fifth one that Paul listens might not sound quite as good to us. It's suffering. If indeed we suffer with Christ, that we may also be glorified together. Most people will do all that they can to shield children from suffering, and rightly so. But God has ordained that suffering for the name of Christ is a normal part of the Christian life. In today's Upper Room, the article is Observing Osprey, and it's by Deborah Pierce. And she said that she and her husband had watched the birth of baby Osprey breaking through the shells, and said the parent, the mother and the father on each side of the nest watching as the bird continues to chip away from the inside to that egg until eventually breaks through. They don't do anything to assist with the breaking through, because they know that's a part of the bird developing the wings and being able to produce. And so they let that happen. But then immediately after the little bird breaks through, then it's nestled under the mother's wings. So God sometimes may seem silent to us during our suffering, but God is never absent during our suffering. He's watching over us, and at just the right time, we'll be there to offer what we need, whether it's comfort or just the strength to continue with that struggle. So Jesus' disciples, they urged him. They said, don't go to the cross. But God connected suffering and glory. No cross, no crown. The distinction is made between pain and harm. Sometimes pain or suffering happens so that a healing or a greater good can happen. Suffering for our faith strengthens our faith. It also strengthens our family tie to the family of God. Disciples of Jesus are children of God. Sometimes earthly parents, even grandparents, forget the importance of family. Warren Wiersbe honestly and humbly told this story. It was during a family Christmas celebration. One of his grandsons had asked him to play a game with him. He wrote, "It was a game I didn't understand. I wasn't really interested in learning." Before long, the little one could tell that Grandpa was only going through the motions of playing, and that what I really wanted to do was get involved in that interesting conversation that seemed to be going on in the kitchen. And suddenly, the grandson said, "That's okay, Grandpa. I'll play by myself." So he picked up the board and the pieces, and he walked up the hall to his bedroom to finish the game. About 5 minutes later, he stuck his head out the door and he called, "Hey, Grandpa, you lost." Wiersbe notes, he was rice. I lost, and what I lost, I can't get back. I lost the opportunity to give of myself and my time to a boy who treasured them more than the gifts that we brought. I was selfish on Christmas when we celebrate the birth of an unselfish Jesus. God never forgets the importance of us being in God's family. God has all the time in the world, and he wants to spend it with us. God has all the riches of the world, and he's given us all the riches of himself. Children of God will never be abandoned and will be glorified together with Jesus. Let us pray. Abba, Father, thank you for adopting us as your children. Help us to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.